Blog Talk Radio.
Our Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. The scripture says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." We come to exalt the wonderful name of Jesus. Truly, he's great, and he's greatly to be praised. And I am so excited that you have joined me on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to bless you. Yes, you, my friend, God is going to bless you in a mighty and a special way. I'm excited about you. I'm excited about what God is doing in and through your life. Truly, this is another glorious day in which we can give God and show forth the praises unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have another beautiful, beautiful lesson on today. We're going to be talking about the task of temperance, getting a greater understanding of the relevancy of temperance in our lives as children of God, as believers. And yes, it's going to be another victorious living through the word of empowerment from biblical lessons and principles. And we're going to explore the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for today's living. As we're getting ourselves together, why don't you grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 16 to verse number 27. And our focus verse, or what we're going to be looking at on today of our spiritual content, is going to be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 25. And so as you're getting your Bible, I'm going to go ahead and turn to that. And we're looking at Christian principles or principles for the children of God and applying these principles unto our lives that we can live victorious in the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 16 through verse number 27 reads on this line. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And woe unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, and to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, that one receiveth the prize? So run, that you may obtain. And everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperance in all things. Now they do it to attain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to other, I have found myself to be a castaway. Now, let's look at our verse, and that was Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 16 to verse number 27. Now, let's take a look at verse number 25, and it reads on this line, "In every man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown." Temperance, the balance of all things, is the key to spiritual strength and happiness. In life, moderation is the stress-free comfort zone that produces peace and prosperity. And I want to say that again. In life, moderation is the stress-free comfort zone that produces peace and prosperity. Now, let us take a look here, because we're talking about on today the task of temperance in the life of the child of God. And we want to see how we can be victorious and welcome temperance in our lives. A reoccurrence narrative flows through many sports stories. One version is about an exceptional gifted athlete who forgoes discipline, and in spite of his talent and others' expectations, he loses when he should have won. The much more encouraging version often has a more protagonist, an athlete who is not exceptional gifted. Instead, the athlete possesses a very ordinary skill. Yet, through hard work and strict discipline, he overcomes or she overcomes the odds and emerges victoriously. Now, this lesson is built around a sport analogy from Paul's letter to the church at Corinthians, and the reoccurrence is again visible. Paul does not tell a particular story of a particular athlete. Instead, he underscores the theme of discipline. Now, on today, we're going to look at discipline in the life of the child of God, and it's key for us to be disciplined, child of God. Now, let's look at the balance of creation. In the beginning, the earth was dark and cold without order. It was without form, and it was empty, and darkness covered the face of the deep. However, God is light, and he shone upon the earth and brought to its beauty and balance and order. As such as it is, God wants to bring to our lives balance, order, and beauty into our lives as a child of God. And so we must exercise temperance and moderation so that God can bring into our lives that beauty of holiness, that order in our lives, and as well as balance in our lives. Now, John chapter number 1, verses 3 through verse number 4 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now, all creation is balanced. God flung the planets of the solar system into space just the right speed, and they began to rotate around the sun at different speeds depending on the distance from the sun. These planets continue their delicate journey, balanced between two forces, the central figure, the speed, and gravity. Too much speed would fling them out into space, and they would leave their orbit, but the unseen force of gravity holds them in place. Now, on the other hand, if the sun was larger and its gravity was stronger, it will pull the planet into the sun, and they will be engulfed by an overwhelming temperature. However, the intelligence of the designer of the universe placed everything perfectly and appropriately with the necessary distance, the necessary speed, and the necessary gravitational pull. Our God is so amazing. He's so amazing. He's awesome. And he's a wonderful God. Even the tiniest material particle, an anton, have the same kind of forces to play as the solar system. The motion of the electrons with their tiny amount of mass makes a cloud of negativity charged X electrons in the space outside of the small nucleus, which contains positively charged protons. These attractive forces keep the separate parts together so that they can create a single anton. Scientists estimate that if all the antons on the Earth were drawn into a nuclei of their antis, the Earth will become a disk ball of matter no bigger than 6 inches in diameter. Instead, God has balanced them and placed them in an organized order. The release of energy by the sun is dependent on a delicate balance of energy and matter. If the sun was any larger, the gravitational pull would not allow the sun's energy to escape. Further, the Earth is just the right distance from the sun to absorb just the right amount of that energy, not too hot and not too cold, but just right. If the sun were any closer, nothing on Earth could live, for it would be too hot. If it was further away, the Earth would freeze. If the atmosphere were denser and thicker, all life on Earth would cook because of the greenhouse effect. If the atmosphere were less dense and thinner, however, we would freeze. Life on Earth exists within just the narrative band of temperature extremes. God made the Earth balanced and just right for all life. Every aspect of the universe created by God is perfectly balanced. Now, let's look at Job, chapter number 26, verse number 7 through verse number 10. He stretched out the north over the empty place and hanged the earth upon nothing. He bind up the water in the thick clouds, and the clouds is not rent under them. He holds back the face of his throne and spreadeth out his cloud upon this. He has compassed the water with balm until the day and night comes to an end. Job let us to know that. Now, if the moon were closer to the earth or larger, the ocean tides would overflow most of the land's mass. Instead, it is just the right balance and just the right size. Further, the earth is tilted at just the right angle to create the season and support life and the growth of crops for food. Over in the Bible of Genesis, chapter number 8 and verse 22, it said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and hot and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. That's what Genesis chapter number 8 and verse 22 says. God did not set all the heavenly bodies into place and establish their orbits in order to astonish the scientists through the ages. Rather, he created the right environment in which he could place the grand finale of his creation, which is mankind. Further, the same kind of harmony and balance that exists in the universe also exists in mankind. Over in Psalms 139 and 4, it states, for there is not a word in my mouth, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Our human body is a marvel of balanced forces. Carbon dioxide, oxygen are balanced in every cell and then again in the lungs, delivering life-sustaining oxygen to every part of the body. Also, water and salt are balanced in every cell and every kidney. The pancreas works to keep salt and sugar level in balance. Even our limbs are balanced by the opposing muscles in order for our arms and legs to move and walk. If the ideal of balance and harmony is true in the physical realm, both in the heavenly bodies of the universe and in our human body, how much more is the temperature and balance important in our spiritual lives? The Lord revealed that he seeks for those who will balance their worship with both spirit and truth. That you can find that over in the scripture, over in John chapter number 4, verse 23 and verse 24. And it reads, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Oh, child of God. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, balance and temperance are vital to every area of the physical realm, to every aspect of our human life. For example, when it comes to outreach, we should balance preaching with teaching and evangelism with discipline, discipleship. We should also observe the need for balance and temperance in our personal life. When we are concerned, when we consider the demand of work and family, we must balance these necessities and keep them in perspective with the appropriate priority. Why are temperance and balance so vital in the many areas of our life? Perhaps it's the best explained by the illustration of a highway and the admonition to keep to the middle of the road where there is safety. It is always wise to remember the danger that existed in both ditches on either side of the highway. In a sense, this is a message of Apostle Paul in our lesson today. He was admonishing us the need to keep this distinction ever in the mind as well as the reason for ministry, which is for salvation of the soul. We will safely reach our goal and objective only through maintaining proper balance and living a life of temperance. Now, let us look a little further here, because we must resist evil, weakness, and temptation. Let's take a look at that. Over in James chapter number 1, verses 13 to verse number 14, it said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Now, evil always prey on a person's weakness. For that reason, the writer of the book of Hebrews cautions, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Hebrews 12 and 1. We must recognize, child of God, we must begin to examine our own lives and begin to look at and see what are the things that hinders, what hinders your walk, what's hindering you. Look at that and become aware of those things. What is hindering you from living holy and righteous before God? And once you begin to find out those things that are hindering you, the Bible said, lay it aside, every weight and sin that so easily beset us. Now, it doesn't mean that God is going to come down and set those things aside. But the Bible said for us to lay those things to aside. which is besetting us, that's causing us to fall back, that's causing us not to be all that God will want us to be. We must be able to be aware of those things and then take those things and say, I'm going to lay aside bad temper. I'm going to lay aside me having a quick temper. I'm going to lay those things to aside, whatever it may be. Begin to look at your life, whether it's smoking, whether it's whatever. You examine it, and you be the judge of yourself, because you know better than anybody else the things that you need to lay aside. And the Bible says, judge ourselves so that we won't be judged and things. And so what it's saying is that God has given us opportunity to look at our own self and to judge ourselves so that we won't be judged. And so many times people say, well, you know, why judge? Why you keep judging me? Well, reason why is because you're not judging yourself. It's because the Bible admonishes us to judge ourselves so that we won't be judged. And so those things that we need to set aside, that we know that is not pleasing to God, God said, you judge yourself. You lay it aside. And not only those things that are besetting you, but the weight and the sin that so easily beset us, God said for us to lay it aside. And so it's key, child of God, for you to lay it aside. Amen. And see, so that you will not be judged. Satan knew that Eve was very vulnerable, more vulnerable than her husband, and he knew how to approach her and to tempt her. Usually, Satan does not attack us at Sunday night prayer meeting or Friday night prayer meeting, whenever the prayer meeting is going. He waits until Monday when we are relaxed and let down our guard. Then he waits until we are discouraged and alone. That's when he attacks. This is why it's vital to balance our lives with regular and faithful church attendance and fellowshipping with other believers, because then that balance is there. Now, let's look at resisting evil. James said in chapter 4, verse number 7, he said, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. To resist evil and temptation, we also need to achieve balance in our lives, exhibiting both submission to God and active resistance of evil is key for us to achieving spiritual victory, and it also requires both resistance and submission. Submission to God and resist evil. Oh, God, I'm not going to do that because that's evil. That's not what God will want. That's how we resist it and things. But I'm submitting myself unto God. God, I submit myself to you. But I'm going to resist evil, God, and things. God said resist evil. And so we as children of God, there are things that are required of us to resist it and things. Temperance empowers us to resist temptation. It causes us to be conscious of our weaknesses and not to underestimate our enemies. Temperance individual never feel so spiritual that they cannot fall. Balance and temperance keep us as far from carnality as possible. Rather, it is a matter of clothing ourselves in the spiritual armament of God and preparing ourselves to do spiritual battle against the devil. Ephesians chapter number 6, verses number 10 to verse number 12 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what the word of the Lord said. Now, let's look at another part. The Comforter, God in us. Jesus Christ promised that that he will return to us in the form of the Comforter by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Lord is with us and in us to help us to resist evil. The Bible says, John 14, verses 16 through 18 states, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that you may abide with you forever. Even the Scripture of truth, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeketh him not, neither know him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's what John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18 says. God said, I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. God promised that he will come to his children. We are not alone in our walk with God as we battle the flesh and the devil. We have the Spirit of God within us. We cannot successfully resist the devil alone, but with the Spirit within us, we can resist evil victoriously. Paul observes that the indwelling Holy Spirit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter number 1, verse 27. Together with Christ, we cannot lose. Now, and so here we have the Comforter, God in us. And with Christ, we cannot lose. That's why we must submit ourselves unto God and resist the evil. Now, let's look up further. The strength of discipline. Let's take a look at that, at the strength of discipline. Many tap against the ideal of temperance and discipline within their lives, like Eve. They see it as an inhibiting their freedom. However, it is a complaint born out of ignorance. It is like a flesh complaining that it has to stay in water, or a bird unhappy because it can fly only in the air. However, when the creatures get out of their natural environment, there is nothing but pain and death for them. Now, life and freedom exist only within the boundaries designed for their survival. Now, boundaries and disciplines facilitate freedom. Temperance and discipline do not involve laws, but work against us, but laws that work for our good and protection. Further, together strengthen us and empower us to achieve complete freedom and victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at this. One of the things the Lord spoke to my heart that we as children of God, we must recognize that there are spiritual fences that God has placed within his body. Now, if you see, notice a fence is something that comes to keep things out or keep things in. Either way, it's either keeping something from other people intruding on their property or keeping something contained. So it is in the body of Christ. God has spiritual fence or spiritual boundaries that are within his kingdom to keep foes out and keep things out and keep things contained and protected in. God has spiritual boundaries for the children of God. And we cannot overstep those boundaries that God has given unto us as children of God. And that's why God said for us to submit ourselves to him and resist the devil. That's a spiritual defense, that when we're resisting and submitting ourselves to God, God, we're staying within those boundaries that God has given unto us as children of God. And so we must recognize the spiritual boundaries that God has given. When he said, lay things aside, those things that are not profitable, those things that are besetting you, those things that are sin, God saying, these are boundaries. Once you set those things aside, then God can do what he needs to do in your life. And so until we set certain things aside, God cannot do the things that he wants to do in our life until you set it aside. And things, set sin aside. Set those things and weights and things that are besetting you. Set it aside so God's bountiful blessing can flow. flourish in our lives as children of God. Now, when he sees you move by faith like that, then God can do the rest that need to be done in and through our lives. Now, let us look a little further. Being temperate in all things. 1 Corinthians 9:25 said, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to attain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Now, striving for mastery, let's get a greater understanding about what the scriptures are saying about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, Paul defended his calling as an apostle against his carnal critics. And so here we are as we come back again to this. Paul was dealing with some things in Corinthians. Paul was trying to encourage the believer and the children of that they must honor and financially support the church and the church leaders who God had ordained and called. However, Paul was willing to surrender his personal rights and make any necessary sacrifice so that the kingdom of God could progress and souls could be saved. And many times people do not understand or see the magnitude of the sacrifice of the ordained man or woman of God that God has called to be the under-shepherd. They cannot even fathom in their mind all of the sacrifices that they have made for saving of souls and life to being transformed. Now, look, Paul likened himself to be an athlete in training for an event in game held near Corinth in order to win a prize, which was nothing more than a wreath made of pine needles. These athletes train extensively and inhibit temperance and rigid discipline in every area of their life. Paul was not interested in receiving an athlete wreath of victory, however, in winning an incorruptible eternal crown of life. He was willing to sacrifice his time, to surrender his rights, and to turn away from self-gratification. Paul knew he had to discipline himself and remain subjugated to the Lord at all times. Even after all of the sacrifice and training in order to win other, Paul recognized he himself could become a castaway, deemed unfit for the prize, and rejected by God. He was willing to risk losing everything worthwhile by living without self-discipline and temperance. And so here, Paul, he knew the importance of discipline. Now, temperance in all things. In the Christian service, temperance is necessary. Temperance is not a one-time event or an achievement, but it is a lifestyle. One act of anger kept Moses out of Canaan. One sin led to another and kept David from building the temple. Now, an act of rebellion cost Saul his throne. One thing that was lacking kept the rich young ruler from eternal life. One failure caused John Mark to return early from the mission field, aided a breach between him and Apostle Paul from a number of years. Now, over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, verses 1 through 2, the scripture says, wherefore seeing we also are confident about with a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience that which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We find that over in Hebrews chapter number 12, verses number 1 to verse number 2. We must recognize discipline to service. Jesus was forced on his divine mission, focused on his divine mission. The joy, what was set before him, kept Jesus balanced, it kept him temperate, and on the path towards the cross. His self-discipline enabled him to fulfill his mission for the cross. And we as children of God, we must recognize, you know, there's people that, you know, be in the house of God, have no spiritual discipline, have no desire towards the things that are righteous, don't even honor it anymore. Let us not be like that. Let us hold sacred the things that God's given over to us in our charge and walk softly before God. We're living in a time and a season where we must hold fast to the things that God has given it unto us as children of God, so we will not allow it to slip, nor allow it to be disrespected either. But we as children of God, we must hold it in awe and great esteem because God delivered it into our hands as children of God. Now, let us look further into the scriptures of God of being disciplined. In familiar, similar fashion, Paul also lived a balanced and temperance life. Paul's temperance is clear in his self-discipline and determination to serve Jesus Christ. And I think that, let's take a look at determination. It takes the sheer determination and focus to stay focused on the things of God and determined to walk upright and to live holy before the Lord our God. And now, there's not spiritual polices that are policing us as children of God, but God is accountable, is holding us accountable to walk upright and before him. And he, out of our own volition, out of our own desire towards the things of God, Paul, it was his own volition. It wasn't the man of God, it wasn't the woman of God, but it was out of Paul's own volition and determination to live holy and righteous before God. And so it is. It got to come own volition, out of our own determination, out of our own desire to please God and bring glory and honor unto him. Paul wrote, "Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3. Verses 13 to verse number 14. He pressed towards the mark of a high calling. He didn't wait for people to come help him, but he pressed himself. He knew he was determined to bring glory and honor unto God. And so some things will not just happen, but we must be determined and to press forward over our own desire by committing ourselves to, out of our own determination, out of our own volition for God and the things of God. It's just not going to happen just to happen. But we got to have a determination as never before. Now, temperance after knowledge. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. "And besides this, given all things, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patient godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." 2 Peter, first chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. There is a natural progression of spiritual growth as one develops in their relationship with God. A new believer begins with faith in Jesus Christ. Then the Lord infuses them with godly virtue when he is filled with the Holy Ghost. As a believer gained more knowledge of God, they continue to grow spiritually and come to understand the need to live a temperance and a balanced life. They go on forward in progression of spiritual growth, faith to virtue, to knowledge, to temperance, and beyond. So God is wanting us to continue to grow and to prosper in the things of God. We come into knowledge, and then we move from knowledge to virtue, and then from knowledge to temperance, and then going on beyond. Temperance is then the basis of patience, which leads a person into godliness and into kindness. The child of God cannot pick and choose the godly attributes they wish to exhibit and nurture. All of the believers must pursue all of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit and of godliness. And so God is expecting all of the children of God to exhibit in their lives and nurture in their lives all of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, as well as godliness as well. Further, it is important to recognize that all of the Christian virtues are bound together through self-discipline and balance, as well as temper. So these things are vital, and these things are key in the life of a child of God. Now, the place of peace and prosperity. Now let's look at that. Now let's look at the danger of extremes. Extremely high and low expectations are dangerous. There are danger in either extreme position. The child of God should seek to maintain balance and temperance in their experience and relationship. Only through such balance are they able to attain a place of peace and confidence, fulfillment in Christ Jesus. Consider Peter before Pentecost. Peter was impetuous, and he always was extremely up and extremely down. He claimed his loyalty to Christ was such that he would never leave him nor deny him. Now, in the Garden of Gethsemane, only Peter drew the sword to defend Jesus. But when Jesus reprimanded him, he felt dejected and withdrew. The journey was a downward from there. He followed Jesus the rest of the day from a great distance. Further, he denied not knowing Jesus and being one of his disciples. Finally, he was overwhelmed with guilt and shame. It was an emotional roller coaster. After Pentecost, however, the story of Peter changed dramatically. He was a leader before Pentecost, but afterward his leadership took on a foundation of solid stability. The little stone became a rock upon whom the early church could depend for consistent leadership. And so here Peter, even though he's gone through all of this, and God blessed him to have temperance. And then God blessed him not only that, but his consistent leadership. He said, Peter, upon this rock, the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. And so Peter recognized and knew because of that temperance. And what we have to do is make up our mind of being consistent and being faithful to the things that God has given unto us to oversee or to be in charge or to take care of in the house and the things of God, maintaining godliness, not allowing ourselves to fall to temptation. And you know, when we come to things that, you know, we're desiring and we know that it's not what God wants us to do, well, we can say, no, I'm not going to do it, and give to God and say, God, help me. Help me to resist that, because I'm weak right now and I need your help. And that's how we pull upon God and ask of God to help us in moments. Yes, child of God, you can make it, because God has shed enough blood and he's given us strength. He said, your strength will be made perfect in your weakness. Now let's look at the balancing and the blessing of balance. As we look further into this matter, Daniel was a man of temperance and balance. He knew his Jewish ancestry and was confident in his identity. He was confident in his principles, and he was unwilling to change them for any person or for all the power and the glory of Babylon. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. You can read that over in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. He disciplined his life to do the will and purpose of God. Daniel was at peace when he prayed 3 times every day in his house, both before and after the king issued a decree against such pretension. After the new mandate was issued, Daniel prayed as he had previously, even though he was violating the king's order. He also was at peace when he willingly suffered the consequence of his prayer by the king's men by casting them into the lion's den. He was at peace with himself both when he was elevated in the kingdom and when he was demoted. Paul was able to say, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I learned both how to be abased, and I learned how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Philippians 4, verses 11 and 13. Paul and Silas preached and served Jesus Christ everywhere they went, giving no thought to consequences or reward of their service. After they cast the evil spirit from the damsel, Acts 16, they were arrested and beaten and thrown into the inner prison with their feet in stocks. However, their circumstances did not seal their peace or inner victory. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, not knowing whether or not deliverance would come. John chapter number 2 states, "Behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul shall prosper." With spiritual discipline and balance, we are to grow in spiritual fruitfulness and prosperity. In the first chapter of his second epistle, Paul exhorted the believer to grow and progress in God. This comes about by the balance of God's working within us and our striving to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God multiplies grace and peace in our lives as we gain knowledge of Jesus Christ. God also gives us great and precious promises and enables us to partake of his divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 4. Now, as we continue to add godly characteristics to our life, now let's stop right here. Now, as children of God, we must add godly characteristics to our life. We must add to our faith. We must add virtue. We must add the knowledge of God. We must add temperance, balance in our life. We must add patience in our life. Godliness. Strive for godliness. Strive to be kind. And strive to be charitable. We must strive and add these things to our life daily. I'm going to today trust God. I'm going to step out in faith and believe God. We must add these things to our life daily. And we will discover the true building block of living a temperate and a balanced life in Jesus Christ. We must go on to perfection. We can't stay here. We must go on to perfection. Continue perfecting our faith. Continue perfecting virtue and strength. Continue perfecting knowledge. You learned one scripture. Go on and don't stop there. Another scripture. If you read one chapter, go on. Read another chapter. Don't stop there. Keep going. If you've been temperance in one thing, keep moving in temperance until you gain temperance in your life. patience and godliness. If you've been godly in one matter of your life, be in all matter of your life and perfect that. And kindness, if you show brotherly kindness to one, continue on showing kindness to others. Continue on. If you show charity to one, show charity to somebody else. Continue on to perfection. Don't stop there, but just continue on. And that's how we're living and striving to move into the realm of the realm of God and cultivating those characteristics in our life. So we need to continue on. If God show you to lay something to the side, lay it to the side. If it's worrying, if it's fear, lay it to the side and say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to have faith that God is going to do it on my side and going to work things out for his plan and glory. If you just listen to the music, maybe start reading and spending time in the Bible so that you can add knowledge unto you. And things, not waiting just a Sunday, not waiting just to hear another message or another Sunday school or another Bible study lesson. Sit down and read your Bible. And as you read it, just tell God, God, I don't understand everything I'm reading. Open up my understanding. It's just that simple. And God will open up and illuminate you and give enlightenment and inspiration unto his own word, unto you. As you welcome the Holy Spirit to give you illumination and give you inspiration and revelation about the Word of God. Oh, child of God, child of God, child, hallelujah. Send it to the most. Oh, he's a righteous God and he's a round God. And so here, the scripture over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 say, well, if these things be in you, what thing? Godliness. What thing? Faith. What thing? Virtue or strength. What thing? Temperance. Godliness, kindness, charity, patience. If these things be in you, now, so you need to put those things, add those things in you and abound, not only in you, but they are abounding. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, now let's look at this. The Bible says, who lacks these things are blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. So here, children of God, it's key to allow these things, not only your faith in you, but have your faith to abound in you. Not only let godliness abound in you. Let it just stay in your life and abound in you. And let knowledge of God abound in you. And see, you will never be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because these things are abounding in you. You will not be barren nor unfruitful in the things of God. And it goes on to say, temperance is the key to spiritual growth and happiness in life. We should strive for balance in our lives and in our doctrine and in all that we do. In life, moderation is the stress-free comfort zone that produces spiritual peace and prosperity. Through temperance and balance, we are able to live victoriously for Jesus Christ every day as we look with discipline towards our eternal inheritance in the heavens. Now, Joshua chapter number 1 and 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 7. It is God's desire that you will prosper, child of God. It is his desire that his fruit of his spirit will prosper in your life, and it will bring you into a place of stress-free zone and knowing that you're trusting and waiting upon God, that he that will come shall come, and he will not be, because you have decided to wait upon God, and God will do it. And while you're waiting, you are displaying and abounding in the fruit of the Spirit and the knowledge of God and of God and the virtue of God and the temperance of God and the patience and the godliness and the brotherly kindness and charity. You are blessing all of the blessing, the bountiful blessings of God. And God is allowing your life to be fruitful in the kingdom of God as well as the things of God. I pray that this has given you a greater enlightenment and a greater understanding about temperance and this place and the task of temperance in our life and balance and moderation in our life and the fact that we have to do something as well as adding and taking and laying aside things out of our life. You know God don't want you to do it. Lay it aside and say, God, I'm laying these cigarettes to the side. God, I'm laying, Lord, gossip to the side. Lord, I'm laying, Lord, different things that you're calling me to do that is with me. I'm judging myself. I'm looking at myself and laying those things to the side and saying, God, now I'm going to work on my faith. Now, God, I'm going to add and abound. I'm going to read more of my word so I can abound in knowledge of you, God, and your greater understanding. And now I'm going to start doing more charitable things and not beginning to be kind to others and things. And I'm adding these virtues now into my life so that I can be fruitful and abound and never bearing and not blinded of the things of God, because I'm walking and moving in the divine will of God. Oh, child of God. Let us look real quickly as we close. We talk about the balance of creation. We talk about the resisting of evil and weaknesses and temptation. Resisting evil, the comforter who is God in us, the strength of discipline. We talk about striving for mastery, being temperance in all things, discipline in service. We talk about the temperance after knowledge, the place of peace and prosperity, the danger of extreme, making sure we have balance in our life, the blessing of balance and adding to our life the things of God and nurturing and care, cultivating the characteristics of God in our life. These are the things that we must do daily, children of God, so to be fruitful in all of the things that we do and not bearing. And so when you find yourself, when the enemy is trying to tempt you at things, continue to every day submit yourself to God, resist the devil. And the Bible said he will flee from us. And so we as children of God continue to abound in patience, abound in faith, abound in godly kindness, brotherly kindness, and temperance. God will make you to be so fruitful in and through your life. Now, I pray that this has been helpful. I pray that these principles are be able to undergird you and fortify you and to grow you stronger in your walk with God and know how to work so daily, abound in the things of God. Grab a hold of it. Let your faith be mixed with it. When you leave this air, do something. Lay aside those things and begin to add to your faith. Read your Bible. Talk. Do of kindness, being kind. Now, as I close, remember, child of God, you can do it. The Bible said for us that all things upon Christ will strengthen us. So you have the strength. Ask God to strengthen you, and he will do it. And remember, in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are one question away from your blessing. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock at the door. Shall be unto you. It will be open unto you, child of God. Watch God do it on your behalf. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we add these things to our lives, Father, that we won't stay in the same place, that we will continue to be fruitful in our lives, God, that you will be glorified and lifted up, Father. We thank you because you are the righteous Savior who has all power in your hand, and you can do all things but fail. Father, we give our life over into your hand and saying thank you, Lord, for being our God. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for temptation. We thank you, oh God, that we will resist the devil. And we thank you that we will submit ourselves unto you. We thank you because fruit of faith and the fruit of your righteousness, the fruit of your patience, the fruit of brotherly kindness, the fruit of charity is abounding in our life. Thank you that the fruit of godliness and temperance and knowledge and virtue is abounding in our daily, God, so that when you come, you can see the fruit upon our mind. And Father, we thank you, oh God. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. May God bless you. May God's grace be multiplied upon you as well as his peace. Until we meet again, may the Lord our God continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore in and through your life. May God bless you. In Jesus' name.